Hi, this is Tim Hanley.
I'm Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You can see, hear, and read more than 1,000 of my celebrity interviews at mrmedia.com. That's mrmedia.com. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, iTunes, or Stitcher, and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. On today's show, I'll welcome Tim Hanley, author of Investigating Lois Lane, The Turbulent History of the Daily Planet's Ace Reporter. Stick around. Reading this book is far more exciting than watching Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. All right. You must have seen the movie from the way you laughed.
Oh, yeah. It was god-awful.
Lois Lane has enjoyed a remarkable run, considering she's been around for more than 75 years in the pages of Superman comic books. But life has never been easy for the journalist best known as Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane. Seriously, what modern professional woman would want to be introduced that way? After a few days, it would grow old. But as months turned into years and then decades, pushing into a century now, even the most liberated woman with the greatest sense of humor is bound to find it less than funny or ironic. What's worse, however, is that in her 21st century DC Comics incarnation, thanks to the publisher's relentless rewriting of history, poor old Lois Lane barely exists in print, having been replaced in Superman's affections for the most part by Wonder Woman. He doesn't even know that he and Lois were once married. How's a gal with ink in her veins supposed to compete with an Amazon with a magic lasso and an invisible airplane, anyway? In Tim Hanley's fascinating history, Investigating Lois Lane, The Turbulent History of the Daily Planet's Ace Reporter, the author brings together decades of multimedia treatments of the durable reporter, mostly at the hands of male writers, artists, and editors who may have been a little more than disinterested. And he tries to make sense of the way she's been battered and beaten, loved and lost, since her June 1938 debut in the pages of Action Comics number 1. Tim Hanley, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for paying attention to our poor Lois. So I got to the end of your book. I don't want to give away the ending. I mean, it's a very big surprise. No, just kidding. It's not a novel. But I was surprised to feel pity for this fictional character. I mean, poor Lois, she's like the Rodney Dangerfield of comic book girlfriends, right?
Yeah, she's had an up and down go of it, to say the least. It's been quite a journey for Lois across various types of media as well, comics to radio, television, movies.
You think as you're reading this that, you know, because she starts off in a certain place, and you think as you're reading it that, you know, and I've been reading these comics all my life, and I'm thinking, well, the situation gets better, you know, and the blah blah blah. And in the 70s, there's that great comic, and you have the picture to back it up. I love it, where she goes into a machine that turns her into a black woman for like a, you know, I mean, but the reality is, she was never really in much better shape, except for small periods of time, right?
Yeah, it's brief windows where she gets to be kind of the star of the show for a little bit. She's perpetually in Superman's shadow. And that means she's stuck in a love interest role for most of the time. Not that there's anything bad with a love interest role, but the way it's played over the years often doesn't reflect well on Lois.
Yeah, because she's, you know, she thinks of herself and presents herself as this ace reporter, as you call her in the subtitle of the book. But in her actual presentation, for the most part, she's just, you know, she's eye candy. She's, you know, she's a means to an end.
Yeah, the ace reporter becomes a background kind of thing through a lot of her history. It's the early years are interesting because she starts out writing the lovelorn column, becomes an ace reporter by like the early 1940s. And that it stays with the character. It just doesn't come up that much. It's kind of a given, and the rest of her time she's getting captured and rescued by Superman, of course, or has romantic hijinks going on, or is trying to prove that Clark Kent's Superman. So her actual main skill kind of fades into the background a lot of the time.
Now, I will say, in the introduction, I made a joke, not really a joke, about Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice, which is a terrifically awful movie. But actually, Lois Lane comes off pretty well in that film. However, Perry White it must be – it's just about the worst portrayal of Perry White I think I've ever seen. No editor that – I don't know your experience with these things, but no editor that I've ever seen goes around the newsroom shouting headlines at reporters for stories that haven't been written yet. I just thought that was the most bizarre thing. By comparison, Lois came off pretty well, but Perry White, not so much.
I think they were trying to make him funny, and they just don't know how to do humor is maybe the problem.
No, Zack Snyder, not a funny man.
Yeah, but Lois comes off pretty good. She's in the thick of it throughout the entire movie, whereas in Man of Steel, she was kind of – she had that great bit at the beginning where, spoiler alert, she figures out that Clark has superpowers before he's even Superman. So that was kind of great, and then she kind of just follows him around for the rest of the movie. Mm. Batman v Superman, she's in it, doing lots of different things. My only issue with it is that everything she tries to do, she ends up in trouble and Superman has to save her. So she never really gets to follow anything through. But, I mean, she's a constant presence. She helps out. She's got a big moment at the end.
Right. Yeah.
It gets real stupid after that.
Yeah. She has that one moment, and in the midst of getting to that moment, somehow with all the battle going on around her, she's running towards the battle and nothing lands on her. You know, I won't waste our time on that. I already wasted four. Actually, my neighbor, I wouldn't pay for the movie. My neighbor really wanted to go, so I went with him, and he wasted $14 on my ticket. I didn't.
Nice.
So
I went opening night, even though I knew it was going to be terrible. Wonder Woman was in it, and she was great. I liked her a lot.
Wonder Woman was great in that movie. If she has just a little of that twinkle and that sense of humor in her own movie, it'll be something. She was one of the few redeeming characteristics or elements of that film. And I want to come back to Amy Adams in a little bit, but let's come back to Lois. So tell folks a little bit more. You talked a little bit about how she was a sob sister, which was an advice letters to the lovelorn columnist in the Daily Planet when it started. Take us through a couple of the different presentations of Lois over the years. How did she change and yet not change?
Sure. In the early years, so like the late 30s, 1940s, or the golden age of comics, you start with that, the lovelorn column, trying to move her way up. That's why she gets into trouble all the time. She's trying to get front page stories, so she's running into dangerous situations, tracking down criminals, that kind of thing. So she'll get caught, Superman has to come save her, and that's kind of her dynamic for the first decade of her existence. And she does get to the front page, she becomes a star reporter, but she's still getting captured all the time. Then in the Silver Age, so like the mid-1950s to about 1970, the end of the Silver Age is a nebulous area in comic book history. She gets her own series. Problem is, it's called Superman's Girlfriend, Lois Lane. And comics at this time have gotten very conservative. There was a juvenile delinquency crisis with Seduction of the Innocent and Frederick Wortham in 1954. So everyone who survived that crisis wanted their comics to be as unobjectionable as possible, which meant you embrace the ideals of kind of the dominant cultural values as much as possible. So Lois was all about getting married, all about settling down, trying to nab Superman in whatever way she can. And Superman was kind
short,
of this...
I'm sorry, I hate to interrupt. Sure. In any way she could, short of getting pregnant out of wedlock.
True.
I just got to say, that's about the only thing she didn't do. Go ahead, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. Well, Superman would never do that. He was too much a gentleman.
Yeah, right.
And a stalwart. Actually, during the 1950 TV show Adventures of Superman, Kellogg sponsored it. So George Reeves and Jack Larson, who played Jimmy Olsen, got all these great Kellogg's commercials. They would never let Lois be in them. On the off chance that someone sees them and think Superman and Lois are having breakfast together, what happened the night before? So they were very careful. Mm. So another huge component of Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, is Superman as a kind of paternalistic figure teaching Lois lessons because she's too impetuous. She's always pulling stunts to go after big stories. And so Superman would try to straighten her out with elaborate ruses and just massive, massive plans to try to keep her on the straight and narrow, never really specifying what it was, just keeping her out of line. Sometimes it was just for like revenge. He'd touch her stuff and he would get mad. And he set up something to teach her, don't touch my stuff anymore. And the lessons were often harsh, so she ended up crying through the first 10 years of her book quite a lot. It was a rather unpleasant time between the romance stuff never going anywhere and the constant lessons. Lois had a terrible time of it well into the 1960s.
Well, and she her own comic book was basically just a vehicle for them to sell more Superman because he was always there, and she never she was the star, sort of. There was a period of time when in high school when I worked at a little comic book stand. Well, I worked at a comic book store once and another one, a comic book stand at a flea market, and had the opportunity to read pretty much everything. And so I remember that the late 60s, early 70s Lois, I actually enjoyed, mostly because the covers were always very provocative. The stories never held up to what the covers promised. I mentioned the one where she, she does a machine because she wants to find out what it would be like to be a black woman. There's that. A lot of stuff like that. That whole era was like that for DC Comics. They're up against Marvel. You have a whole section about this in the book. They're up against Marvel. They're trying to find a way to be relevant. They never quite make it. They still haven't quite made it. So that era ends in 1974?
Yeah, the book is canceled in 1974. Lois had gone, like, she had a brief feminist revolution. There was a new editor on the book named Dorothy Woolfolk, who was really into women's libs. So Lois quit the Daily Planet. She dumped Superman. She was on her own. She moved in with some other women, so she had a whole sisterhood thing going. It was really cool, really quite contemporary and interesting for DC. It lasted all of 7 issues because Woolfolk got fired. And then the book lasted about a year after that. It got canceled and rolled into a new book called Superman Family. That Jimmy Olsen feature and a Supergirl feature and a bunch of other stuff. And Lois kind of became a background character yet again.
Dorothy Woolfolk, was she related to William Woolfolk?
Yeah, that was her husband.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he was one of the writers on The Spirit when Will Eisner was in the war, I think, in the 40s, and he was around comics his whole life.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of Superman stories.
I figured there was a relation. I was thinking more daughter at that point than anything, but spouse, wow.
Yeah. She was also, before she was married, she was Dorothy Rubicek, who was the assistant editor on Wonder Woman early in the 40s.
Oh, I did not know that. Huh. And then, I mentioned this in the introduction. Do you feel like Lois was a victim of almost always being written by men over the years? That was that, you know, they'd bring their own issues with women, their wives and their daughters, and they're not really thinking in terms of how would a woman think? Well, how would a woman want to be treated?
Yeah, she's been written by men who don't seem to put a lot of thought into her. Like, the focus seems to be, not to generalize, of course, there's some men that have written Lois well, but when usually Superman is at the forefront at the expense of everyone else. So for Lois, that means shuttled to the background again. And yeah, it's, you get a lot of stereotypes about women when it comes to Lois. You get a lot of, like, hysterics and very emotional. Like, Superman's the calm level one through whatever emotional relationship up and downs they have. Mm-hmm. Whereas Lois is the one that's always kind of has to fly off the handle, kind of instigate the drama for their relationship. Certainly through the 70s and 80s. It gets a little better later, but up and down.
In more recent years, have we seen more women write Lois stories? The last couple of years, she's been almost invisible in the DC universe. But, I guess the other question is, where there have been women like Kelly Sue DeConnick, for example, have women done any better at establishing Lois and being able to sell copies, which is what it all comes down to? All DC cares about is, are we selling copies? Have they had any success?
In the early 90s, Louise Simonson wrote Superman Man of Steel, one of the 4 ongoing Superman series, and her Lois was great. And Superman books at that time kind of worked as a team thing. All the writers would work together, and one issue of one series would go into the next. So every week you got a Superman story that connected to the week before. So I think Louise Simonson's influence during that whole period, she was there for about 5 years, was really good. And you get a lot of good Lois stories in the early 90s. After that, there were 4 more women who wrote Superman books for a grand total of maybe 15 issues in the 20 years since. Wow. There was a Lois Lane special, two of them actually. One of them was a Girl Frenzy. It was a special thing DC did with a bunch of different female characters in the late 90s. So Lois got like one issue there. It did moderately well. Didn't turn into anything series-wise. And then a couple years ago, after the DC relaunch, it kind of undid the Superman-Lois marriage and all of that. DC did another one-shot written by a woman, Marguerite Bennett, with art by some women as well. I think Emmanuel Lupacino and Megan Hetrick were in it. And it's a good book. I think it might have been like a test for a series, but they did it oversized. So it was like a 48-page book. They made it $5. And it didn't sell that well. And nothing came of it. Lois has been in the background ever since. She's come to the fore a bit in a recent story where Superman's identity gets revealed. She's the one that does it to save him because he's being blackmailed. But she's kind of an antagonist throughout the story. Superman's really mad about that. So where she has been recently has not been great.
And there have been times over the years where the comics and the movies or the TV show, like Lois and Clark, they've tried to tie them in. But there's no effort to do that at the moment. I mean, they're just existing and completely apart.
The effort seems to be to tie them in visually. DC's doing kind of a relaunch in June coming up.
Shocking. DC is doing a relaunch of its titles? They've never done that before.
But the plan seems to be to match the characters' look from the movies, but not the stories, not the kind of characterization. Mm. So it's like a smidge of synergy. In the 90s, like with Lois and Clark. Lois and Clark is the reason Superman died, the reason there was Doomsday. The plan for that year for the Superbooks was to marry Lois and Clark. Mm-hmm. But then the TV show came about. They wanted to have the will they, won't they for a couple of years first. So they shuttled that plan in the comics. They got rid of that. Didn't know what to do. They decided, well, let's just kill Superman. And so they got married later at the same time they got married on the TV show.
The first, well, pretty much the first arrival, first entry of Doomsday, right? Which sadly they brought him back in the movie, which was a complete waste.
He didn't even look cool.
No, he didn't. He just, you know, it's just stupid. Of course, you're talking to someone who thought that Tom Hardy as Bane was ridiculous as well. I mean, Bane with a British accent. What was the point of that? I just don't.
It was absolutely ridiculous, but it was so.
Oh, okay.
It was so over the top. You have to enjoy it.
Okay. Well, I don't want to take anything away from your enjoyment of it, but I thought Bane and Doomsday were, you know, from the same.
It's a poor reflection of the original characters.
Exactly. Sure. That's exactly it. And I guess the real question is, do young women even care about Lois Lane? I mean, a 20-year-old woman today, does she even know who Lois Lane is? Does she care?
If she does, it's because she watched Smallville. Hmm. That's about the only avenue. Lois hasn't been in a bunch of things. Smallville's the only real constant presence for Lois in the past 15 years or so. I mean, there's the new movies, but they're not good. There's Superman Returns, which is also not good. I was actually talking to someone the other day, and I figured if you're like a kid right now, if you're 7, 8 years old and you're into superheroes, you're going to have no idea who Lois Lane is. Mm. Because there's no Superman cartoon. The comics are not for kids. Mm-hmm. The movies are not for kids. So there's really no space for a young kid to see Lois anymore.
Well, and you mentioned Superman Returns, which was the Brandon Routh version, right? And in that, Lois does not do well in that she's apparently been hiding that Clark Kent, Superman, had a son that he didn't know about. I mean, what a shrew. You know.
Yeah, she comes off really bad in that movie because the big dramatic thing at the beginning is that she's written this article, "The World Doesn't Need Superman."
Right.
And you think, well, that's Lois taking a stand. That's kind of cool. You find out, no, she's just upset that he left.
Yeah.
And when he's back and when they're friendly again, it's like, oh, the world does need Superman. I was wrong. So it's all just a romantic hijinks again, weird stuff with that kid. She does save him when he gets stabbed with the kryptonite shard, but by that point in the movie, you're checked out.
Yeah. Yeah, I give Brandon Routh a lot of credit in that we find him perfectly charming as the Atom in the DC Legion. What the hell is it called? Legion of Tomorrow?
Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow. I can never get it right. Anyway, so Tim, you've obviously read a lot of Lois Lane comics in the name of research. and watched a lot of cartoons and the old movie serials, the TV shows, and the modern movies in which Lois has been featured. What is the best of the Lois genre? I mean, what, you know, what if you wanted someone to see Lois at her best, whether it's comics or multi, whatever it is, what would you recommend?
My personal favorite is Phyllis Coates in the first season of The Adventures of Superman. It's the old black and white show from 1952. The show gets kind of softer and goofier as it goes on. Phyllis Coates gets replaced by Noelle Neal, who is a more kinder, gentle Lois. But the first season is dark, like weirdly dark for a Superman show. It's all like true crime, gangsters, and murderers. The danger is very real. It's not goofy creatures or anything. It's a little bit hardcore. And Phyllis Coates Lois is in the thick of it all. Superman's trying to tell her to stay out of things. Clark Kent's trying to stay out of things. She never listens. She's always in the middle of everything. When bad guys come up and there's going to be a fight, she's in there throwing punches. A kind of a testament to Phyllis Coates' physicality and dedication to Lois, as there was a scene one day they were shooting. She was kind of mixing it up with a goon and they were getting close. And she got in so close that the guy accidentally clipped her.
No.
So that's how dedicated she was to the fight scenes and having Lois in the thick of everything in the show. So she's great, and she's funny and sharp and cold in the way that Lois can be cold, and that she's so focused on getting the story that she does not care what anyone else says or thinks. It's just this great directness. I love her. I think she's a fantastic Lois.
And what's the worst? I know, so much to choose from.
it's a long list. Superman Returns might be the worst. It's the current DC movies are the worst movies that Lois is in, but Superman Returns for Lois is a really bad depiction. Because, I mean, there are rough depictions like the 50s comic depiction when it's all romance stuff, but it's interesting at least, like as a kind of a time capsule of that period. It's fascinating in that way, even though Lois doesn't come off well. Superman Returns, there's just nothing redeeming about it, I don't think.
Oh, no, I think she's detestable in that movie. Yeah. Where do you place the Max Fleischer the cartoons of the 40s?
The actual Fleischer ones, the first, yeah. I think, nine that the Fleischers did, near the top for sure. Lois is phenomenal in those. I think every one of them except one ends with a front page story by Lois Lane, except for one that starts with a front page story by Lois Lane. And she's always chasing down monsters. She's on a train with a Tommy gun shooting at the guys trying to rob a freight train. She's great. And then the Fleischers get taken over. Famous Studios do the next eight. And Lois kind of fades out. She's not as good. But the early Fleischer ones are amazing.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah, if anybody's watching this and you've not seen them, look for them on YouTube, maybe.
They're all on YouTube.
Fantastic animation. And is Phyllis Coates the voice of Lois on those?
No, it's Joan Alexander, who did Lois in the Superman radio show.
Okay.
And a couple Superman cartoons in the 60s.
Yeah, and you describe, I think, that those were rotoscopes, so they actually used the actors from the radio show.
I'm not sure if the actors from the serial acted it out. From the serial. The serial was later in Noelle.
Okay.
But I think for the rotoscope, I don't know if Joan Alexander acted Lois out, but someone acted Lois out,
yeah.
And they would film it, and then they would kind of draw over that to get a lifelike.
Okay, that's what I was getting at. Yeah, that was fascinating bit of detail. I enjoyed that. And I guess you answered this question. I was going to ask you if you had a favorite Lois on screen. I guess you would say it would be Phyllis Coates. I was thinking, I've always loved Terry Hatcher as Lois and Lois and Clark, and Dean Cain was wonderful, I thought. That was about as accurate as, in my mind, you could play those characters and give them a dual life, or give Superman a dual life and show some respect for Lois at the same time.
Yeah, I like Lois and Clark a lot because Lois never comes off as dumb.
Right.
It's really easy with the Clark Kent Superman dynamic for Lois to look kind of like a moron for not figuring it out. And with the Lois and Clark, they kind of stretch it out just enough to get that kind of tension you want to have. And then she figures it out, and then they're partners and they work together, which I think is the ideal situation for Lois and Clark together. It's whenever Lois is in the dark, it always goes on long enough that it's just uncomfortable and Lois comes off looking bad.
Right.
But when they can kind of be in on what each other's doing, I think it makes them both better, because Lois or Clark slash Superman can rely on Lois for certain things. Lois can kind of use Clark slash Superman for story purposes to get, you know, your front page scoops and whatnot. So I think it betters both characters when they kind of have enough knowledge of each other.
Now, we've talked about Amy Adams a little bit, but I would say I adore Amy Adams. I think she's beautiful. She's a talented actress. I just think horribly miscast opposite Henry Cavill as Superman in these movies, in that she's 10 years older than him. It's going to be 10 years before he ages. And if she's still opposite him in 10 years, she'll be pushing, I don't know, 45 to 50, and he'll barely be in his mid-30s. I think they made a huge mistake not thinking that out. Beautiful woman. I don't take anything away from her acting ability, but I think it was a huge mistake putting someone who was 10 years older than him opposite her and not thinking, well, gee, if this is successful and we do 3 to 5 or 6 of these over 10 years, we may be replacing Lois, because people aren't just aren't going to buy someone who's old enough to be a grandmother.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be Superman in 10 years.
Well,
I think we'll be on a second or third Superman by then.
You think so?
Yeah, I think. I mean, the franchise is, it did well opening, and then
died.
The subsequent weekend drops have been really bad.
Well, it only did well opening, I think, because there was a lot of pent-up ordering, since you can order tickets ahead.
Yeah.
If people who had ordered those tickets ahead had read the reviews, had been able to see reviews, there's no way.
Plus, Snyder's back for 2 Justice League movies. It's, I don't see the universe lasting that long. I don't love Amy Adams as Lois, just because I think she is slightly miscast. The age thing doesn't bother me. Hmm. She's a little... I think she lacks the toughness I like to see in a Lois, the kind of like brash, take-no-prisoners bit. She's got a little of it, but not enough that it feels like Lois for me. She's a great actress. I just don't know that Lois is in her wheelhouse particularly well.
By the way, you know, I said 10 years, but I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. There's 2 Justice League movies slated. He's going to be in those. Probably there'll be another Superman movie. This was technically a Batman movie, wasn't it?
Well,
isn't that what they said?
It was more just like a Justice League prequel, really.
All right. But, I mean, he's, you know, so I would assume we're going to see him at least 3 more times. That's 6 years. And he's already done 4 years in the role. So, you know, 10 years. So maybe not 10 years from now, but he's certainly going to still be Superman in 6 years.
Hopefully not.
Oh boy, I don't have a problem saying that Amy Adams shouldn't be Lois Lane because she's miscast, but I'm not putting myself up against anybody playing Superman. I don't want to run into that guy.
Do you ever see pictures of him on set where he's like smiling and having a good time? He actually looks like Superman, and it's great. And then you go to the movies, and it's just bleak. Dead-eyed stare, no joy in him whatsoever.
Yeah, kind of like Ben Affleck as Daredevil and Batman.
It works a little bit for Batman, not well, but the grimness fits. For Superman, it's just...
But he's unrelentingly grim, which I think was God, who was the guy who played him last? I can't even think of his name.
Bale.
Christian Bale, yeah. You know, that got old. Give me Michael Keaton bringing a little bit of humor on occasion, you know, but anyway, I'm getting off topic here. big overarching sociological question for you. What does the treatment of Lois all these years tell us about women in society, both when she started and now?
Yeah, Lois is a fascinating character, and that she's a really good example of the treatment of women in comics and society more broadly over time. So if you go back through Lois Lane comics from the 1930s until now, it's what Lois is going through is pretty much what American women are going through. So all of the ups and downs therein, mostly downs for Lois. So yeah, I think Lois is a product of a very male-dominated media at every level of production. Comic books are written, drawn, and edited by men. Even still today, I actually do statistics for creators in comics. And women make up about 15% of the creators on all levels at like DC and Marvel right now. Hmm. So it's still hugely male dominated. And so with Lois, you kind of see a male perspective of what a woman is throughout the decades. Hmm.
Now, you also wrote Wonder Woman Unbound, and I'm wondering, did Wonder Woman fare any better than Lois in terms of her presentation, the care that was taken with her over the years? And did she have her comic books, because she really hasn't been in movies or TV briefly in the 70s, has she sold any better than Lois as a character?
Wonder Woman started out really well. Her creator, William Moulton Marston, was a bizarre kind of feminist. He went further than most feminists go. He thought that women were quite literally going to take over the world. So a matriarchal revolution was imminent, and he kind of created Wonder Woman as a way to prepare his young readers for the idea of a strong woman in order to get the matriarchy rolling a little quicker. So his Wonder Woman was this powerful creator, or this powerful character. The Amazons, where she came from, are this utopian matriarchal society. So there are a lot of fascinating feminist themes in early Wonder Woman comics. Also a lot of bondage and fetishism, because right. Marston used it as a metaphor for kind of patriarchy and matriarchy.
And he was a psychiatrist, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a psychologist.
Psychologist. Like,
PhD and everything, real professional guy, who saw in comics an opportunity to kind of influence kids and spread this message. So the bondage was a metaphor for the different kinds of rules. So on Paradise Island, bondage was fun because women were in charge. In the world of men, bondage was no fun. It would actually, when one woman got tied up, it would take away her superpowers. So the metaphor holds, except it's in the book all the time. It's definitely a fetish thing on his part too. So it's a weird mix of feminism and fetishism, but it's interesting. And then Marston dies in 47, and Wonder Woman kind of goes downhill and follows the Lois Lane trajectory, basically. She gets a brief feminist revolution in the 70s. The 50s, 60s, she's kind of obsessed with marriage, wants to quit being a superhero and settle down with Steve Trevor. And then since the 70s, she's just kind of, she's had a comic book the entire time. There's been brief interludes between, like, relaunches. But constant, it's never sold that great. A couple of the relaunches started big, but fell out quickly. So she's been a mid-lister for the past 30 years or so. And DC tries at times, but there are also other periods when you can tell they're not putting a lot of effort into it. They're just kind of letting it go. Right now would be one of those times. They got Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chang to relaunch Wonder Woman in 2011 when they did the full relaunch. And that was like a big star power creative team. And they did 3 years. It has its pros and cons. Hmm. I liked it for the most part. They did some stuff for the Amazons that wasn't great. But since then, Meredith and David Finch have been doing the book, and it's been not good, and they've just let them go for a year and a half. Well, but now with the new relaunch, mm-hmm. It's going to be Greg Rucka, who wrote a great Wonder Woman about a decade ago. So she's kind of poised to come back a little bit now. We'll see how that goes.
Well, I've got to ask you one more thing before I let you go. I was just thinking, have you watched the first season of the Supergirl series on CBS?
I have.
What do you think?
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's really good. I love that it's just as a counter to kind of the rest of the DC cinematic thing, like how Superman's so dark in the movies. Then you get this Supergirl who's so earnest and kind and smiley. It's like, yeah, that's what a super show should be. Or a super movie. That's the core of what these characters really are. Mm. And yeah, I think it's great. Cat Grant is somehow great, which is amazing.
Right, yeah, exactly. I agree completely. I think CBS would be wise if they worked over the summer to get it in front of more young women, because they're probably skeptical of it. But it's a wonderful show. I mean, my wife was skeptical to sit down and watch it with me, and I was a little, yeah, okay, we'll see. But it's sort of like the Flash. It has light and it has dark. It works in textures, and the characters are very well done. And of course, it's got the Martian Manhunter. So I'm just like, you know,
I think that Martian Manhunter reveal was so much fun.
That was great.
I did not see it coming. Nope. I'm like, oh, what? It was such joy. And the Flash Supergirl crossover episode.
Excellent.
Maybe one of the best superhero things I've ever seen on a screen. It's great.
And I love that they haven't done the male thing, which would be to move Martian Manhunter to be the main character, even in Supergirl's show, which is what would have happened probably in the comics, just to sell more copies. All right, so what's next? Last question.
I'm working on a couple things. I got a new book that will be coming soon. I can't say a lot about it. It's going to be about a villain this time, another female character. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm actually starting research on a fourth book, which will be a sidekick character.
Ah.
But again, keeping the cards close to my chest here.
All right, all right. Well, folks, listen, you can find Tim Hanley's female comic book studies, Investigating Lois Lane and Wonder Woman Unbound, in great bookstores everywhere, where you can order them right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. If you are watching on MrMedia.com, below the video, you'll see the covers of the books. You can click on them right now. You can have them. You can get them by email. I'm sorry, by as an ebook, I'm sure, or you can click on them and have the physical copy sent in a day or two. You know, Amazon with their drones, maybe they can get it to you in 30 minutes or less by the time you watch this. I don't guarantee that, however. Tim, website? Are you on Twitter or Facebook? Where can people find you?
Yep, my website is thanley.wordpress.com. I'm on Twitter at timhanley01, Tumblr timhanley01 there too.
No Facebook?
I have it. I don't use it.
Oh, okay. Well, stay away from Tim on Facebook, kids. all right. Hey, Tim, I enjoyed the book. It was nice talking to you about it. And thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Media, today.
It was great talking with you. Thanks for having me on.
Live before a studio audience full of young women who changed their initials to LL in the hopes of catching Henry Cavill's eye in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.